Right, well, welcome to the Lucrative Podcast, episode number 10. And I'm back at it again after missing last week's episode upload day, but I'm back now with a fresh new episode and feeling pretty exhausted actually, because I actually spent this week recording some new episodes that are going to be going in the upload schedule, ready for the Saturday upload date. And I tell you what, I just find it so exhausting. You know, when you've met up with like a group of friends or something, and you've just been talking non-stop, and you're just catching up, you're just talking, and you just lose complete track of time, but you come away from it just feeling absolutely shattered. Well, that's how I feel right now, because I just did some back-to-back recording sessions for the podcast and feel absolutely knackered. I'm ready for a sleep, but at the same time, I'm also heading off to Soulfest, which is tomorrow. I'm recording this on Thursday, and I'm heading off to Soulfest tomorrow. So when this episode goes up, I'll already be there. But yeah, I've got a feeling that I'm not going to be catching up on too much sleep at the moment. I've just got an inkling that might be the case. Earlier on this week, I did have a little bit of devastating news, and that was from the Radio Star competition that you might have heard me talking about on previous episodes of the show. Unfortunately, I didn't make the next round of the competition, which was a little bit gutting, but at the same time, I have had an amazing time on it. It's just been so productive for me, and it gave me a fantastic start that actually led to me getting a job in radio, which has been just absolutely phenomenal. So I can only thank Nails Mahoney and Tracy Lee, who were the organisers for the competition. I just can't thank them enough. So if you're listening to this, Nails and Tracy, then thank you. Thank you for everything. And it actually leads us on quite nicely into today's episode, because this one is actually with some of the other Radio Star contestants. It's taken a hot minute to get this one together, but finally did it. And I got a group of the people together that are in this. The competition is now into the top 7 rounds, so things are really starting to heat up, and a few of these people that I spoke to are now in that round of it, so that's really exciting for them. I managed to speak to Lizzie Romaine, Sean Carey, Rosa Serrett, Victoria Martin, and Ashley Paul, and it was just a really great chat. We talked about the competition, we talked about our love for radio, what it is that we like to get out of our own shows that we all present individually, and what we feel are just also like some of the pros and cons as well of radio in general and the way that it's going. Funnily enough, this was actually the first time we've all spoken as a group, and although we've seen a lot of each other's work, this was the first time we actually sat down and had a conversation together. It was really nice, and it was just really cool to get to know them on a different level. So, like I mentioned, we've got the few radio stars here. The only one that isn't in the competition, like myself, is Victoria Martin. She was actually voted out as well at the same time as me. So it was good for us to actually find out what's kind of happening in the competition. What are the feelings? What are the highs and lows of the current moment? Just a couple of quick things to mention before we get into this episode. We had a couple of problems with connection, and it was just a little bit on the hazy side, so we just did the best we could, and if you hear it just drop out, the audio get a little bit quiet at times, that is why. And also another thing to mention is that Sean Carey actually had to go to work about halfway through this, and I just edited it out in post. So if you just don't hear very much of him after the halfway point, that is why. He did have to go to work. So got to respect the grind. So it's fair enough. But anyway, let's get into today's episode. Episode number 10 of Lucrative, with Lizzie Romaine, Sean Carey, Rosa Serrett, Victoria Martin, and Ashley Paul, aka the Radio Stars. The Avengers Assemble is here. finally. Now the real devastation can begin. All these radio presenters in one place. We'll see what happens.
I was going to say, you've taken on a mammoth task here. We've all clearly got voices, because that's why we've gone into radio, and now you have to basically herd cattle into something.
It's a great point, is that, Lizzie, and I'll tell you what the logic was behind it right now, because I put this thing together because I thought, oh, it'd be really nice to get everyone that was involved in Radio Star and get them talking about the competition and the journey into radio and stuff. I thought that would be really nice, and then I thought about it for a moment, and I'm like, hang on a minute. All these radio presenters in one place at the same time for an hour. My God, what's going to happen? So this could either be a total car crash or it could be absolute excellence. So we'll find out in the next hour or so.
Not with that, Luke.
I'll try not to jinx it.
Meanwhile, Sean's eating something. What are you eating, Sean?
This is the Radio Star Champions lunch, is it? This is where the secrets to all the good content is held between those two pieces of bread.
You guys would be ashamed if you knew what I actually eat. I'm the most plain eater, the most ridiculous eater. I just have the worst looking meals all the time.
Right, I think we can finally begin this little shindig of sorts. We finally got here. We finally managed to assemble everyone. So pat yourselves on the back. We've got some good stuff for the blooper reel. But I thought we'd just kick this off first of all by just for the mics and all that. Just say who you are and what station it is that you currently present on.
Radio DJ for the next 4 days. On LMFM and FM 104 in Ireland.
Awesome, that's Sean. And who wants to go next?
So I'm Ashley. I present on Actual Radio in Colchester across the whole of the county of Essex. I'm also on Tring Radio in Hertfordshire and Southend Hospital Radio in Essex.
Okay, I'm Vicky, and I present on Dublin City FM every Monday from 2 to 3. So tune in and listen to me.
Hi, I'm Rosa. I've just graduated from university and I am currently doing radio presenting at the university station as well as First FM for Oxford City.
And finally, it's me. I'm Lizzie Romaine and I'm currently a radio presenter on Hayes FM 91.8, and I have a new music releases show which is called Positive New Music Releases, and it's every Thursday 1 till 3pm.
Well, thanks for making it, guys. Thanks for making it. We certainly had our troubles getting that started, but it's finally good to have it done, isn't it? So it gives us all a new perspective, doesn't it, for the joy of radio, not having to put up with such problems as bad internet or anything like that, or dodgy links. But there you go. We all share one thing in common, you know. Otherwise, we're just bunch of different presenters all doing various different styles of shows and all that kind of thing. But earlier on this year, we kind of found something, didn't we, that joined us all together in a strange sort of way. It was the Radio Star competition. So who wants to sort of like explain in a nutshell what it was all about, or what it is all about, because it's still going on?
It's exactly that, yes. So it's still going on. It's basically the only international radio search competition. I promise I'm not just reading this off a screen. I've all rehearsed it.
He's just put his glasses on for everyone at home.
Veterans in the industry, and it's effectively a platform just to give up-and-coming radio talent a way in, and also exposure, and to show off and practice their skills, really, which I think, even just given the rounds that we're up to now, everybody that's in it, you've really noticed the difference in terms of even up to here. I think everyone else would probably agree with that.
Yeah, no, it absolutely is. Like, it really just came at a good time. I don't know what it was like for you, but it certainly did feel like it for me, because I was, even though I was doing stuff and kind of doing bits of presenting here and there, I just didn't have that kind of motivation to keep trying new stuff out. And with this competition, it certainly does do that, doesn't it? Like, it forces you to try new stuff out.
I know exactly what you mean. Like, I was at that stage, like, after the big long lockdown, especially here in Ireland, and Vicky can tell you, we went on bloody long with not being able to do much at all. So you can just find yourself falling into a bit of a trap of just doing the exact same thing every day on radio, and it just came at the perfect time. Exactly what I needed to hear at the time is to get involved with this competition, you know, push yourself to do some things, get yourself out of your comfort zone for a bit. And, you know, you ended up meeting positive people like everyone else here. Everyone I've met in the competition, it just seems to have the exact same thing going on. And everyone has this burst of positive energy. And it's just been such a great experience. It's given me back a big love and passion of radio that I did start to lose a little bit during the lockdown.
Is it time for me to reveal that I've got a tattoo already? Radio Star 21.
Oh, go on. Even though this is an all audio format, I highly encourage you right now to show and deliver.
I think as well, because radio at the moment is in such a state of change. With lockdown having happened, everybody is doing, or at least having a go, because people have been bored in lockdown. You've got so many people that are trying something different. And this Radio Star, I think that had something like 350-odd people that applied in the first round, and every single person got feedback on how they are presenting, whether they got through to the next round or not, which is a bit of a feat in itself, that, really.
I wouldn't have actually come to Radio Star had I not broken my foot at the time. So I was sat there doing my radio show in lockdown. Obviously, there's nothing else to do. So I was sat there at the at my computer desk for quite a while, and my foot had gone to sleep. So I just got up to walk across my apartment, and I went over left onto my left foot, and it snapped, and it actually broke. So I was off work for about, I think it was maybe 10 weeks in the end. And it was only because I was off work that I was kind of scrolling through LinkedIn, scrolling through my emails, and there was just this little tiny footnote that said Radio Star, and I was like, what is that? And I swear I would not have come across it had I not broken my foot. And so I looked at it and I was like, yeah, okay, I'll apply, why not? You know, there's nothing else going on. I'm sat here with my broken foot in the air. So I just applied for it, and I've never heard of it before. And I was just absolutely stunned when they came to me and they said, you're in the top 25, because I was like, what is this competition? I don't even really know much about it. And that was the very first piece of feedback that I've had. So Nails and Tracy saying that you're in the top 25 was just the most amazing thing for me, because throughout all of lockdown, I've just been doing the radio show. I actually just started out in radio back in, I think my first show was February 2020, and all the studios closed down. So Hayes FM completely closed and is still completely closed from that time onwards. So I was like, okay, I've just started out in radio. What do I do? So I ended up making my own kind of studio at home, as I think we probably all have done, bought a mic, bought the bits that you kind of need. And I've done it all from home ever since. And so it was kind of me doing my little radio show, which I absolutely loved, and I invested everything into it during lockdown, and then suddenly thrown into Radio Star. And it was literally the very first piece of feedback that I'd had. And it was just amazing to hear that someone out there besides me and my partner actually believed in what I was doing. So that for me, just Nails and Tracy, if you listen to Luke's podcast, thank you so, so much, because it really just kept me going.
I'm just amazed that you followed the advice of break a leg.
Yeah, break a foot. Well, yeah, I mean, that news enough, it must have made you want to just start tap dancing right there and then. But what?
I actually dance as well.
Oh, really?
Not for 10 weeks.
Well, yeah. Well, I don't know, maybe you could do like an interesting sort of choreographed piece on a chair with just one foot. I don't know how it works, but it's a really great segue, that, because like such an amazing story there about how you ended up finding Radio Star. But just for the rest of you as well, like how did you end up sort of coming across this opportunity?
I think my story is quite similar to Lizzie's in that, like, less than a year ago I didn't know what a radio link was. So I used to work in radio and sales in 104, and like somebody was setting up a digital radio station, and they were like, oh, do you want to get involved? And I just naturally assumed they wanted me to do the sales and they were like, oh no, I want you to be on air. And I think my response was, are you effing kidding me? And he was like, no, I want you to be on air. I said, I can't be on air on the radio, I curse too much. I said, I'd be a liability. So he was like, no, you'll be grand. So I literally was like, right, okay, it's lockdown, I've nothing else to do, I'm incredibly bored, I like rock music, let's give it a go. And I went and I did it. And it's like a bug, isn't it? Like, the first couple of shows, I was a nervous wreck, but I was hooked. I was like, oh my God, what is this happening to me? And then I decided, do you know what? I'll get a bit of training. As Lizzie said, I'm in lockdown, doing nothing else. It's all online, it's handy. And I came across the on-air coach, and I came across their boot camp and stuff like that. And I did my boot camp, actually, I think, didn't we do our boot camp together? And then they mentioned the Radio Star and stuff like that. And I was like, all right, sure, I'll give it a go, like, and see what happens. So for me, it's just been a massive learning curve, because some of the challenges, even with recording the audio at home, my head is exploding because I can barely use my phone. Like, I've the fancy mic here, I won't lie to you, only for like my son who's 13 set it up for me. I wouldn't heck use it. So, like, you know, it's mental to think you come from, as you said, absolutely no feedback at all, to doing a little bit of radio, dipping your toe in the water, to this like international radio competition with industry professionals, and they're giving you this feedback. And when I'm reading it, I'm like, are you talking about me? Have you got me confused with somebody else here now? Because, like, it was just phenomenal. So I think, as Lizzie said to Nails and Tracy, if they do listen to me, I'll take that with me forever, and hopefully it'll be the start of radio for me, like, you know. But I'll always, always credit Nails and Tracy for being the ones that pushed me for the Radio Star, because I would never have done it otherwise.
I first heard about Nails and Tracy years ago when I was first like getting into radio. I was doing an online station called Freak FM, and Nails at the time had a book out and everything about radio coaching, and the guy who ran Freak was telling me, and he's like a radio guru, and he'd already worked for 19FM and stuff in the same building a couple of years before and stuff, and like some of my favourite DJs were trained by him. So I knew about him for years, like signed up for loads of different things that he did, and then he emailed me just during a week when we found out we're going to be in this obliviously long lockdown end, and like the weather was terrible. I was just feeling very down about myself, my career, and then I got this email from Nails, and he was like, do you think you specifically would be great for this competition, and, you know, give yourself a bit of a challenge? And I was like, oh, absolutely. If it's, at the very least, it's free coaching from the best coach in the game, I'd absolutely take it up. And then what happened since was just bloody non-stop motivational speaking from the two of them, and it's just been incredible since then.
Yeah, it just sounds like it's been an amazing, amazing journey. And like you say, it must have been something else, but because you actually knew who he was and what he was about. Like, I'd seen him on a webinar, actually. It was sort of, when was it? It was sort of partway through last year that I'd seen him on this webinar, and he was talking about the competition that was happening then. And, you know, I thought he was pretty good. Like, he obviously knew what he was talking about and stuff, but I didn't have that prior experience or hearing stories about what he was like. So, yeah, it must have just been incredible for you from that respect. Yeah,
absolutely. And the two of them, I mean, are such a bloody brilliant duo. They're seriously a big deal.
They are just so likeable, aren't they? Because we all had those messages with them over Facebook, didn't we, where we had to do like a video call with them or something. And I just remember hearing those two on the chat, and they're already like playing it up like they're doing a radio show in front of you. Like, they know exactly how to like keep it fresh, but also just sort of break it down really easily for people like us that are mostly, you know, just starting out. Like, we might have had a little bit of experience, we might have absolutely none, but we're all still sort of moving towards a similar goal, and they definitely do a really good job of sort of getting us on that track.
They're a bit like the Wizard of Oz, aren't they? Yeah. Because the voice bellowing out from the computer, you never see them. I kind of feel like, you know, Dorothy and the Wizard of Oz, and they're guiding us down that yellow brick road. So
yeah, you see one of those like Radio Star trailer videos that they do with the crazy music. That music is something else, isn't it, that they put in those videos? it's kind of like a strange mix between like, I think between like drill and acid house, like that plays in the background, and it's just like, what am I getting into it? But
that's my ringtone now.
Yeah, I don't blame you. It's a good motivation for these next challenges, I suppose, if it's always going off on your phone and reminding you what you've got to do. Of course, you, Sean, Rosa, Ashley and Lizzie, you're all into the next stage of this. What have been your initial thoughts about when you saw it, the brief that Nails and Tracy have given you? What have been your initial thoughts? Have you been a bit sort of daunted by it? Is it something that you think you've got in the bag?
It is.
It's because the deadline they've tended to be about 4 weeks, haven't they? So it's given us a lot of time to plan throughout our schedule. So I managed to get the last two things in before I went to Ibiza for a week. But this time it's literally, they're all due in on, I think it's Friday, the 3rd of September. So yeah, I was meant to go down to Cornwall to see my friends this weekend, but I've had to cancel it.
Do what I do. Don't have any friends, then you haven't got to worry about committing.
They were just like, you know what, you're putting everything into this competition. They know how much it means to me. So they were just like, you know what, it's fine. We're going to see you at a rave in 2 weeks' time anyway. So it's all good.
Oh, cool. All right, fair play.
It is interesting, absolutely, though, because during this competition, it does at some points feel as if you're doing a full-time job alongside the part-time job that is Radio Star, alongside another part-time job, which is trying to socialise. And it does feel like it is probably a point in all of our stages of our radio career where it is like you're having to juggle life until you can finally get your big break and just have radio as your full-time job. So it is trying to balance absolutely everything, and it's so difficult because mentally, like, you could be exhausted but you still know you have to record something on your computer before the deadline, or you've got something to do and you're like, all right, let's just find a bit of energy, pretend like you can't hear the fatigue in my voice, but you know that every single time you do it, you're working towards a bigger goal at the end. But still, it's like, Radio Star is like a part-time job at the moment, but it's like the best job ever.
This is it. It's just all the content that we all now have that we wouldn't have had previously. Like, who sets himself a challenge and goes, okay, make a video in under 60 seconds or something? I mean, I know we live in the media world and I know we probably do some of that anyway, put it on TikTok, blah-de-blah. But for the level of editing that we're doing for this competition and trying to really put out the best of ourselves, I think we should all just be proud in what we've managed to achieve so far and what we've got under our belt. And it's just fantastic, isn't it?
I think, like, at the very least, all of the audio that we have and all the videos, like, that's ready-made demos right there, judged by the best in the business. And
that's the other thing. It's international. That's kind of the huge factor on that, because normally, if you were doing a traditional route into radio, you'd sort of make a show reel or a demo that you would adapt to the station that you're looking at. And of course, you've all got your favourite stations. You've got stations you grew up with that are eventually the dreams. And then you just get different perspectives from completely different stations and completely different PDs that know what radio is. And it's just incredible to think of how many people maybe just even know your name in the radio industry now because of this competition.
You know, like, if you enter a competition, you get that kind of, oh no, like, it's over kind of thing. I didn't really get that when the results were revealed, because I kind of felt that I gained so much from it already. Like, even going out at this stage, like, getting messages from people in radio who otherwise wouldn't have had a breeze who I was. Being able to reach out, I actually reached out to one of the judges about a course that I wanted to do because I seen that he had done it in the past, and he got back to me straight away. And, like, only for Radio Star, that probably would have sat in his inbox and he wouldn't have had a breeze who I was and maybe not replied. So even at this stage, going out of the competition, I think just the amount of information and just exposure that I've gained, considering I've never worked on air and radio up until, if you like, a few months ago. So I think it's just, and like, you guys going further now into the, I won't lie, there's a bit of a kind of, when I hear you talking about the challenges, I'm kind of going, oh yeah, thank God.
You're at a wedding and all the speeches have been done, so Vicky's done hers and we're up next, and it's just, I can't relax.
I'm off drinking at the bar and you lot are still waiting to jump.
That's actually where I found out the results for the top 10, wasn't it, that we had. And I was actually in a bar getting absolutely shit-faced with some friends. And I just remember, like, sort of drunkenly looking on my phone and just being like, oh, the Radio Star results are in. And I'm just there, like, with the phone, like, a centimetre from my eyes, like, seeing if I could, like, actually make out whether I was through. And then, picture came up. And I just remember going, yeah, and all the glasses were everywhere.
I was standing by the pool.
I was just back to breakfast show, and I just went for my nap and woke up just on time because I missed the last one because I was asleep as well, and then I woke up.
Like, those results not come out at like 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah, it's like 6 to 9, so I come back and then I go for a sleep, and then I have to go out Saturday night, usually party, so I have to make sure I have my nap.
Oh, nice.
You have to, like, it's mandatory, guys. I have to go.
when those live reveal videos come through, I can't watch them. I can't watch them. I'm honestly holding in vomit in my mouth. Like, no, I can't do this. So I will distract myself. I will do anything. So the other time, the top 10, I was at work and I literally sat there on my laptop pretending to write an email to someone just so I wouldn't look at my phone. And I was like, don't look. Just wait for any email. Just wait for it. And then the top 5 came in, but I was dying in Bournemouth with my friends. I was just drinking my coffee, and then of course I saw like 12 noon. Oh, it's starting, and I just looked at the seconds counting down. And I just threw my phone. I threw it across the room. And they were like, "Rosa, you're okay. What's going on?" And I was like, "Nothing. I'm fine." But you just, I think it's those moments where you literally feel like you're about to throw up. That's how much you love radio. That's how much you care about it. It's obviously, like, that's why you feel this way. And I don't think I'll be able to watch the next one.
Yeah. A mix of fear and excitement, isn't it?
I once, on one of my radio shows, I said, instead of saying popcorn, I switched the C and the P. I'll just let your brains figure out what I said.
But Lizzie, you got that one?
I got that one.
Again, I left that in because I was in fits of laughter. But what's funny is that it's literally sometimes it is just you on your microphone in fits of laughter, and it makes everybody else, like, I make my housemate at home laugh so much just because I was laughing by myself. And she said to me the other day, it's like, you must as a radio presenter have just such a unique sense of humour. I'm like, no, I think radio presenters do have a unique sense of humour because we just laugh at whatever we say.
It's an interesting balance between introvert and extrovert as well, isn't it? Like, it's a fine line between the two. And I think whenever you're doing something in radio, because you've got to be so versatile to different situations, and especially with doing something that, like what we're doing now, where we're all just having a conversation, but it's being recorded. It's a different dynamic that you sort of have to get yourself used to in a way.
Oh, I forgot we're being recorded.
The fine line between madness and sanity as well, Luke. So.
Yeah, too well as said there, Vicky. Too well as said.
It's like really important, I guess, as a radio presenter as well, to know your balance between being introverted and extroverted, and the times where you're going to be sociable and like looking after yourself and just doing something by yourself and just chilling at home. Because the jobs that we want to go into are so extroverted, we have to be so not necessarily theatrical, but so charismatic and so enthusiastic through a microphone. Anything we put out on radio will sound bad if we're not happy whilst doing it. And even if we've had a terrible day beforehand or we're hungover, you still have to come in and put on that voice because it's so important for your show. But then you can't keep that up all the time. So the same voice that you would have on radio, oh, but then you would have to carry it on and go see your friends. Oh, but then you'd have to carry it on and go see your family all in one day. It's just, it's not manageable and you can't sustain it all the time. So then knowing how to balance that and go, I've just done a radio show and been super charismatic, I probably need to rest myself now and actually maybe look after myself.
Yeah, it's a great point, like mentioning how to switch it on and off. I think sometimes we can find ourselves just like letting it bleed over too much into our lives. I just wonder if that's a problem that we've experienced as a group.
You know, I've been on the phone and someone suddenly stops me and goes, Ashley, you're using your radio voice. And it was almost, this was in the very early days, you know, kind of a little bit, because I think Nails and Tracy won't mind me giving away this little bit of advice, because it's just so important. What they said is be yourself plus 10% on the radio. And I think that is just so important, because at the end of the day, you are talking through a microphone, but your audience is there. You know, you can't see them, but you need to be able to project some enthusiasm. You want to, you want the listener to be as happy as you are there. I think that's the other thing, isn't it? I think Rosa touched on it by saying you could be as hungover as anything. I mean, some of the breakfast shows I've done, I've been the most hungover in my life. But the second that mic grows up, you just change, don't you? You go, look, this is your morning as much as it is mine. So let's have fun together.
And it's definitely a true thing that you have to try and remember that, like, there is one person usually listening to the radio right now, you know, it's not this massive group of people. So putting on a big performance, you know, doing like, hey, this is brilliant morning, even though it's January and it's lashing raining out there, sometimes it's the best medicine. You know, you should keep it real as well, because it's better for you then. It's easier for you to take a step back and, you know, not feel overwhelmed, especially if you're doing radio like 6 days a week, that you are just yourself. At the same time, listen, we're in lockdown maybe at the time, it's raining weather right now, you're not having the best morning, I'm not going to pretend you are, I'm not having the best morning either, so let's get through this morning together.
It's funny for me because I'm a midwife still, and I've been a midwife for the last 10 years. So I started that when I was 18, and I've been a midwife ever since. And so I think for me, because of my job and because of working 12 and a half hour shifts, I have to be 110% every single shift I go in. You can't just rock up and have a bad day because something's happened at home or you're in a bad place mentally or anything. I've always had to pretend whenever I've been at work to be okay. Like, I know that sounds really weird, but we all have our off days, don't we? And, you know, there's like the highs and lows of life and everything like that. And midwifery is just one of those weird jobs where you have to go in, and if you've had a family bereavement or if you've had a really bad relationship turn off or anything like that, and then you're surrounded by someone that's having a baby, you have to pretend, you have to give that 110%, you have to give them the best possible birth experience they've ever had. So for me, for the last 10 years, I feel like it's become quite natural to always have this kind of extra 10% in the burner and then to give that whenever I'm at work. So for me, radio has actually, it's been weird. It's nothing that I don't give when I'm not at work.
It sounds almost like it's more an extension of what you already are already. And I mean, you just mentioned that you've been doing it since you were 18. How do you dig that deep when you're in such an intensive environment all the time like that?
It's really hard sometimes. I mean, I lost my mum about 3.5 years ago, and to go into work and be surrounded by new parents and people that have their parents as, say, their birthing partners, and just all of the emotions that throws up, you just have to dig into such a deep place in yourself. I can't tell you. And it can be really stressful, and you are put in situations which are really tricky sometimes, very emotive situations. And I don't know, I feel like radio then almost comes actually quite easily in a way, because all you're really doing is you're digging deep and you're trying to you're connecting to people, aren't you? That's what radio is all about. So instead of having obviously someone in front of you, you've got a microphone, so you just have to pretend obviously that's a person. But when you've been through all of those scenarios at work and all of that kind of mental thing as well that you kind of have to overcome when you go into a shift and give your 110%, it's weird. It doesn't actually feel that much different. I don't know. I think midwifery has been the biggest challenge in my life, but it's also something that the skills that I've learned in midwifery, I want to bring them to a different platform now. That's kind of how I sit with it, and that's kind of what I want to be as a presenter. I just kind of want to bring those real life experiences and that, I don't know what the word is, just, you know, once you've been with someone in such a mad situation, which is childbirth, you kind of just want to connect with even more people, but just on like a real natural plane.
Yeah, you just want to bring more a sense of humanity to it, where everything's so shiny happy all the time and everything's just like, well, it's 10 o'clock and here's the news and da-da-da-da, and then we're going to have a bit of REM or whatever. It sounds like what you're talking about is bringing more a sense of humanity, like bringing that natural aspect of you.
We always put people like celebrities and favourite radio presenters, we kind of put them on a pedestal, but actually we're real people. And that's just kind of what I've always wanted to bring across when I'm radio presenting. I don't want to sound like someone pie in the sky away from everyone. I kind of want to sound like you could bump into me in the street tomorrow and I'd sound exactly the same. That's kind of how I've always tried to bring what I've brought into radio is that sort of natural sort of essence, I guess.
It's same here as well, and it's something that I try to do as well. It's not always easy. You do find yourself slipping into little odd habits here and there, but that's what it's always been about for me. As radio has been trying to sort of convey that most natural side of me, that, like you say, that you could bump into me in the street or something and still get the exact same experience as you would listening to me on the radio. And I think that's a great idea to sort of just throw out to you guys as well, is what is it that you look for in doing good radio, either if it's on your own, like doing your own shows or that kind of thing, or when you're just listening along, like whenever you're listening to your favorite show on whatever station you listen to, what is it that for you that makes great radio?
I think connection, that's a big one. as Lizzie said, if you're going through something really tough, you know, no matter what time of the day, usually you flick on a radio, you can know there's one person on the other line there who's live right now talking to pretty much you. And I think that's so powerful. If you can make a connection with somebody, with a listener or anything like that, you know, or just even finish a day of work and say, I feel like I actually conveyed a bit of excellent points there. I wasn't just talking shy for 3 hours. I actually got a few things in there that might have changed someone's day a little bit, you know. That's super important. I think that's one of the most important things.
That to me sums it up. It's feeling like somebody else is doing the exact same thing at the exact same moment as you, and you're in a kind of, you can connect to them in that space for a few minutes, and that's what radio is to me anyway.
Yeah, it's like feeling included into that presenter's day, because I listen to some presenters, but it's interesting because every radio presenter has a different way of like branding themselves and a different style. So you'll see, like, you'll listen to ones that are more entertainment and you are just listening to them laughing with a co-presenter, and that's what you like. You don't mind being a little bit more on the outside and you don't mind just laughing when they laugh. But sometimes you want to be able to listen along to someone that's genuinely trying to almost talk to you, like saying, that's really lovely of you, thank you so much for sending that in, or like saying things like, I'm proud of you, I love you, and all of these like weird things that you do just feel as if they're talking to you specifically. But it's interesting because then you don't just have one favorite radio presenter, you have a couple of different ones that you know when they're on the radio, so you know when you want to tune in depending on what mood you feel. And I think that's probably one thing that we all have to like overcome, is that feeling that not every single person is going to want to listen to you and connect with you, because that's not their style. That's not what they want from their day. Maybe they are already happy and they don't need to know that you're happy that they've just started a new job or you're proud of them. But like sometimes people could be having a bad day and then they'll send you lovely messages because they want to listen to you. And then you just have to get over the criticism of people telling you, oh, your show was horrible, and all of these weird other messages that you might get. And you just go, well, that's just not the show for them. Like, that's not the presenter for them. They've got hundreds of other presenters they can listen to, so that doesn't directly affect me. But even still, it's something you have to overcome, I think, as a presenter, knowing what brand you're going to go for, knowing how you're specifically going to connect with that one listener, and sticking with it and not trying to be something that you can't be for that person.
That for me as well, to be able to be on the radio and basically be who I am in real life and not put on a persona. It's just like, look, this is me, guys. You're either going to love me. I might be your mom. You might love me or you might hate me, but this is who I am and this is what I'm going to do. And I think it's that really, isn't it? And there are going to be some people that go, no, I don't like the style of what you present, or I don't like the sound of your voice. You can't appeal to everyone in the world. And I think that's in real life as well, isn't it? There's going to be some people that like you, some people that don't. And you know, you hope the majority do.
It's just amazing that, you know, as a radio presenter, you do kind of learn to hone that, and that's where that connection, that's where relatability comes through, which is why people listen to the radio. They want to be on the same wavelength, because you are on the same wavelength, literally.
Yeah,
tuned into you, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's just moments like that really do make the whole thing worthwhile. And it's, yeah, I think judging by what all of us have said, it seems like that's the common theme that seems to keep us all interested in this crazy little game. But what do you think are some of the drawbacks to doing radio? It's got so many different pros, and it's very exciting in terms of where it's going as well. But I just wondered if I had to push you to say one thing, what is it that you dislike about radio and what's happening with it currently?
I think for me, there's loads of things. I think one of the big things that's really hard with radio is the way that it's structured. And I don't know how to put this in better terms, but obviously with anything like talent search and the way that you have to present yourself for people to want to have you on their radio station and the way that it works, it's really difficult because obviously you have to overcome so many barriers for yourself to tell yourself that you could like you could be one of those people, you could be a big radio presenter at a big national station, but the way that it works is that you're constantly putting yourself out there, you're hoping that people will see you and message you, and you might see other people that are doing really well in the industry, and they're also along, you know, they might be the same age as you, they might be the same experience level as you, they might be even like less experienced, and they've just managed to get in with the luck, and they've managed to get in with the right people. And it's so hard to keep thinking, no, my time will come, it will happen for me, but it will happen for me at the right time. But then you also still have to battle with your thoughts and go, how has that person also managed to get in touch with that person? I emailed them the other day, but they never got back to me. And it's the structure of radio presenting, but it's because it's so competitive. Like it's a competitive field. We're all big extroverted, for me, over dramatic people, where you want to do what you're passionate about, but then you also have to make sure that you're not getting caught up in the thoughts of, I'm not going to be as good as that person.
Media industry is notoriously competitive, and there's only a very few amount of jobs for an awful lot of people. But I suppose it's belief that you carry in yourself that you can actually do it, that will sustain you longer than the people who might drop off along the way. So in the end, you'll triumph because you believe in yourself, other people believe in you. And if you're really, really good at something, no matter how many doubts you have in yourself, I think deep down you know you're doing the right job. So yeah, I understand it can be really hard though to watch people, you know, triumph. You're like, oh, here I am.
No, it's a great point as well, but it's something that you do have to keep reminding yourself of, isn't it? Particularly in those early days when you're starting out. I remember when I graduated from uni, and then last year I was having this way up until last year, I'd just go on LinkedIn and I'd feel physically sick by seeing someone posting about oh yeah, just got the job of my dreams, I've got this internship at here and there and everywhere, and I just couldn't see the positive side of it. It was just making me feel ill, seeing those kind of posts. And I just had to do exactly that. It was just keep reminding myself that, look, there is going to be a way into this somehow. It's just a question of allowing some time. But it is a battle, though, isn't it?
I think it's just going to happen for different people in a different length of time. With cereal packets, and back in the day there used to be the little search on the back.
Oh yeah,
you used to trace with your finger to get to the pot of gold, and some would reach a dead end, some would go a really wiggly way around it, but they'd finally get there, and some were just literally a straight line. And I think we're all on that cereal packet, we just don't know
what we're all just on a different wiggly line. Well, I think that's a great note, actually, just to wrap this up, because we've been talking pretty much for an hour now, and we've touched on a lot of bases along the way. I think we've all found ourselves going in loads of different directions with this one. But just to wrap it all up, bring it all nicely to a close, there's something that we like to do here on the show, and it's just where we get a couple of different opinions about what is a lucrative piece of advice that you could offer some of the listeners. What is it that you think's been the main takeaway from our conversation today?
Just do it. Just believe in yourself. Know who you are as a person. Be strong and just do it. I think the thing is sometimes it's really hard just starting out, because your friends and your family look at you like, what are you doing? Why are you trying to change your career? But don't listen to them. Listen to your inner self. And if you've got a burning passion to do something, don't sit and wait. Just do it.
Yeah,
great advice, that, yeah.
If it makes you feel all the feels and you get that feeling inside you, then don't care what anybody says or how bleak it looks or how you're like, oh my God, what am I doing? If you get the feels, then go after it and do it. Because you're making the right decision, because it's your gut just telling you this is the right path you're going down. So
yeah, and don't overthink it. Don't think about it too much. At the end of the day, it is literally your voice on a microphone. That's it. That's all there is.
Yeah.
So even if you think that things are going wrong, or you did this wrong, or you did that wrong, it looked bad, people are talking about this, it's literally just you and a microphone. There's nothing else. So just don't
ever be cheesy. You know, we're coming out next. We've got all the greatest hits. And you just, that was radio in a time and a place. But now it's nothing like that. There is so many cliches that I guess we all fall into as presenters, and you will as well. If you're starting out, you will fall into those traps. We've all grown up with Alan Partridge. Just be Alan Partridge minus Alan Partridge. That's all you've got to do.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Lucrative with the Radio Stars, Lizzie Romaine, Sean Carey, Rosa Serrett, Victoria Martin, and Ashley Paul. What a great chat that was, and I just enjoyed listening back to that one again, because there were so many, like, just genuine heartfelt moments that you don't get in very many interviews, but that one was definitely one of them, and so many different things to take away from that. So who knows, maybe these could be the exact radio stars that you'll be hearing in the future. So make sure to check them out. I'll link all of their social media profiles in the episode description for this one, and just go and check them out, because they're fantastic. They're great people. If you enjoyed listening to this episode, maybe consider liking, following, all of that good stuff. It really helps us out. Follow me on Instagram. I'm Luke Smithhurst Audio, and you can find me on Instagram there. And the official Facebook page for Lucrative is also there as well. So you can go and check that out, drop it a like and a follow and all that good stuff. And you can stay up to date with future episodes. Well, I'll leave it there for now. I'll be back next week with a brand new episode and probably feeling a little bit hazy after going to Soulfest. But have a great one. Hope you have a very productive week and have loads of fun. I'll see you for the next episode.